Marvin Gaye. Just remind yourself of Marvin Gaye. And remember that you don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't even have to welcome it. Some of the stuff I say you're going to find hard to believe, hard to understand, quite startling. But if you use it, you will see that it works. The Course in Miracles teaches that the only thought that a person needs to really open themselves up to something new is the idea that what I know may not be all there is to know. What you know may not be all there is to know. What you think you know may not be all there is to know. It's a possibility, a very strong possibility, that you don't know everything. There's a strong possibility that you may not be aware of some things. It's a strong possibility that what you know may not be the only way there is to see it. You are not asked to believe it, welcome it, accept it. Some of it you may actively resist. Some of it you may find startling. But if you would just use it, it will prove to you that it's true. We're going to be on page 216 in the course. We got a few extra copies. Page 216, from page 216, it says, only appreciation is an appropriate response to your brother. The only appropriate response to another person is appreciation. The only appropriate response is appreciation. Gratitude is due a person for both their loving thoughts and their appeals for help, because their loving thoughts and their appeals for help are both are capable of bringing love into your awareness if you perceive their loving thoughts and their appeal for help truly. And all your sense of strain comes from your attempts not to see what they're doing as a call for love. So strain is what a person feels when they don't recognize that they just have a call for love. When you're upset, you just have a call for love. So, you should be grateful to yourself for all your negative thoughts, and you should be grateful to yourself for all your positive thoughts. You should be grateful to the person that says stuff that you like, and you should be grateful to the people that say stuff that you don't like. And I would if I had a good reason. And the good reason is, no matter what you say to me, I can use it to remind me of the truth. So no matter what you say to me, I can use that to remind me of the truth. If you say something I don't like, it can remind me to practice the truth, Earl. And if you say something I do like, it still could remind me, practice the truth, Earl. Be loving. Practice what you say you want to have in your life. You know you have to be it if you want to have it. There's no such thing as having something that you're not. So you got to become it so you can have it. So the way that you have it is to become it. And the way that you become it is to remember it. So everything you say to me becomes something that helps me remember the truth. And I should be grateful to you because you're saving me no matter what you say to me. And you don't have to believe that. And probably don't. So I'm just asking you to be the way you already are. Unbelieving. I can do unbelieving. Can you do unbelieving? I can doubt, man, I can doubt my butt off. You're talking about some doubt. Yeah, you know, the path of doubt, I got that covered. I know how to do it. So, that's why you should be grateful to somebody. Of course, we should be grateful because they're either expressing love or they're calling for help no matter what they're saying. And if I can remember that, then I should be grateful because they're helping me to remember the truth. And the more I remember the truth, the more the truth operates in my life and the better my life gets, regardless of what you choose to do with yours. And I'm selfish enough to love you. I am selfish enough to love everybody in here. Show me how I'm going to get a payoff from it, and I'll be the sweetest person you ever saw. But you got to show me the benefit before I get motivated. Anybody else? Okay. All right. I'm very spiritual, but I'm not nice. Y'all had enough nice teachers. Look what got you. Okay. So, let me go on. I changed my batteries. I tried to see, cover everything that I knew I could do myself to stop me today. I missed one thing. I let the battery run down on my iPod. And I had something I wanted to play, but evidently I didn't really want it to be played or else it would be playing. Okay, everybody clear on that point, that the reason why we should be grateful to each other, because even when I act a fool, you all have an opportunity to see me acting a fool as an opportunity to remind you of the truth. And so you should be grateful to me for every opportunity I give you to remember the truth. And sometimes I do it in ways that are ugly. Okay, then he says, now this is the key sentence. He says, all your sense of strain comes from your attempts not to do just this. So strain is coming from my attempt to not practice the truth. Strain is coming from my attempt to not love each one of you. All the strain I feel is not loving you all, not trusting you all, not feeling connected to you all. That's where my strain is coming from. Because when I don't feel connected to you and I don't love you and I don't trust you, there's a lot of strain. Because then I got to be on the lookout all the time. That's strain. So all our strain is coming from not loving each other. Not from not having the flat screen TV. That's the smoke screen to hide where the real strain is coming from. You with me now? So, it says, how simple then is God's plan for salvation? And the course defines salvation as right-mindedness or sanity. So another word for salvation, if you got a hard time with that word, it means sanity, right-mindedness. So it says God's plan for right-mindedness is simple. Okay? Anybody want a simple plan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you a simple plan. There is but one response to reality. Reality is, you either sin love or you sin a call for help. That's the reality of everything in this world. So there's only one response to reality. And the response, the Course in Miracles tells us, is that you will finally understand that it's not reality that is evoking your conflict. Your conflict isn't coming from reality. Your conflict is coming from your attempt not to respond correctly to reality. There is but one teacher of reality. And the teacher of reality is the one who understands what it is. So the Course says, there's just one creative whatever it is, and it's the only thing that really understands it all. Okay? Understands what reality is. The one infinite love that created us, better known as the alias that he's popped, that he or she or it is known by, God. God doesn't change God's mind about reality because reality doesn't change. You don't change your mind about the truth because the truth doesn't change. I'm not going to change my mind if today be Earl Purdy and the next day you meet me, you know, I'm Tarzan. My identity doesn't change from day to day. The truth doesn't change from day to day. So the Course is saying that's what we need to understand. Reality doesn't change. Love 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 doesn't change.
Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Love doesn't change.
All right. You don't need to be more serious. Like me. What y'all like teachers who not nice? A nice teacher wouldn't have done that. Because he would have been too nice. Okay. Because most nice teachers, they tend to act like they don't have any life force from the neck down. Life force from the neck down sometimes is frightening to people. Because they're afraid of their own life force from the neck down. That's where the term necking came from. I don't think I've ever said to a woman, can we neck? Brothers just don't say that. Okay. It's more like, can we get down? Okay. Let's neck. So anyway, that had nothing to do with anything, and I just want you to know that.
Why are black folk reality? Because white folk aren't.
Say what now?
Why are black folk called brother? You'd say brother, but you know, but white guys don't. They don't go up to each other and say, "Hey, brother."
Yeah.
Say, "Hey, man." Some do.
Yeah. Well, you know, the form, what I've learned from the Course is that the form doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the intent.
Right.
Like the instance.
You can say you want to hit me with a hammer, but what I'm counting on is that it won't be your intent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the form, mm-hmm. what you're saying is so important to me is the content and the purpose behind what you're doing, right? It's the purpose, right? So that's what the Course is telling us. If you want to respond correctly to reality, then you're recognizing that no matter how a person is acting, they're calling for help or calling for love, no matter what they're doing or saying. You're responding to the content, which is reality, instead of the form, which is the way that they are crying out, which might be saying, please, really, would you really help me? Or it might be saying, you low-down bastard! Now, that's also a call for help. But I am very prejudiced. I only answer calls for help that are nice. That's just like I'm falling off a cliff and I'm screaming, help me! Help me! And you walk away and say, no, you have to whisper it. You have to say please, you have to enunciate just right. Then I'll answer your problem. Look, when I'm afraid and I'm calling out for help, I want you to recognize that I don't care how it looks.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to get to a certain point before you help me. So I have to be that way myself.
That's what I don't like about this. That's what, you don't know the truth? What I don't like about the truth is that it expects me to be the way I want to have.
Yeah, because if you read this whole thing as, talking about my call for love, it'd be easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone to see, however I do my call for love, to see that as a call for love, like, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. For me to have to see your... Like, anger as a call for love? I'm like, no, I don't
want to
do that.
I know. So therefore, you don't want to respond to reality as it is, and this evokes conflict. That's what the book is. So then it goes on to say, there's this one teacher of reality who understands what it is. Your inner teacher doesn't change his mind or her mind about reality. I always said in all these multi-gender things because I know that means something to people, but that don't mean nothing to me because what we are is beyond words. But I know some people, if they don't hear some feminine in there, they'll be mad. And some people don't hear no masculine in there, they'll be mad. And, you know, because we think we bodies. So what I'm going to do just to give me some rest, I'm going to say it any way I want to.
Okay.
And then you just interpret it any way you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't I give the interpretation responsibility to you? Okay.
You
all right. So you transpose. Since God doesn't change God's mind about reality because reality doesn't change, although your interpretations of reality are meaningless, in your divided state, God's interpretations of reality remain consistently true. So God's interpretation of everything stays the same. My interpretation of everything constantly changes. Then he says, God gives God's interpretations to you because God's interpretations are for you. So there is a new interpretation that we can have of everything that's going on in our life, but. And that new interpretation is for us, and that new interpretation never changes. So we could have some interpretations of things that bring us joy that never change, or we could have interpretations of things that we make that always change. And so, I love this line. Do not attempt to help a brother in your way, for you cannot help yourself. I'll say that again. Stop trying to help somebody in your own way, because you're really not doing a damn good job of helping yourself. How you coming along with your work on yourself? So I say it one more time. The Course says, do not attempt to help a brother in your... Now, that's the key three words to me. In your way. In your way. Stop trying to help people in your way. Spirit is saying this. Because you really don't even know how to really help yourself. He says, but hear that person's call for the help of God, and you will recognize your own need for the Creator. So when I hear whatever you all do as you all calling for God's help, love's help, the Creator's help, I'll recognize all the things that I'm doing are also a need for God's help, the Creator's help, the love's help, the universe's help. I want the universe's help. I want the help of the universe. I want the help of the universe. I want the help of God. Now, your interpretation of your brother's needs are your interpretations of your needs. So whatever you interpreting that I need is what you need. Well, Earl, you need more patience. Earl, you need more compassion. So every time you tell somebody what their needs are, you're just defining your needs. However you're defining another person's needs, you're actually defining your interpretation of somebody else's needs. That's really your interpretation of your needs. So everything somebody tells me that somebody else needs, I always know that's what they need. So they're telling me everything I need to know about them just by what they're telling me about what everybody else around them needs. They need to learn how to shut up. Oh, that's the person needs to learn how to shut up.
They need to be more compassionate, and they need to know how to share.
Oh, God, I'm with a stingy person. Because everything they say about somebody else's need is their need. Oh, that person needs love. That person needs understanding. That person needs compassion. Oh, this is a compassionate person. This is an understanding person.
they want understanding and compassion. So you don't have to be psychic. All you have to do is listen. How did you know my name? Well, you told me. What? Because most people don't listen. They're anticipating the next thing they're going to say while you're talking. So they're not really listening. They're trying to figure out what they're going to say next, usually. But if you just listen, like if you just be 100% present with people, they'll reveal every single thing you need to know for your peace. And then how guilty you feel will determine whether or not you ask for their phone number anyway. Well, I'm counting on it. Some people you want to have your number, some people you never want to call. But no matter what, that's your call for love. That's your call for help. So, your interpretation of your brother's needs are your interpretations of yours. Here's another universal law. By giving help, you're asking for it. The course reads circular, not linear. By giving help, you are asking for it. 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 You are asking for it by giving it. You are asking for it by giving it. In universal law, you are always asking for whatever you give. So to ask the universe is not just saying, please give me this. To ask of the universe is always what you're giving every moment is your request from the universe. This book is just about universal law that it says we don't know about, so we hurt ourselves. People give anger freely. And then they receive it. And they don't see that they're asking for it by always giving it. The person is giving joy. They don't realize by giving joy, they're asking for joy, and the universe is going to give them joy. Because why? Because the universe knows they're serious because they're giving it. Talking it is easy. Talking that is nothing. Everybody in here can talk it. And what's so deep is the book turned around and said, okay, the first stage is talking it. Then we won't even talk it. Like I can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I appreciate you, I appreciate you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I appreciate you, I appreciate you. And whether I meant that or not, that's still speaking the word, that's still moving in that direction, that's still focusing my attention in that direction, it's still giving me, that's what words do, you know, they just concentrate, they just help you concentrate your attention and exclude other thoughts that you don't want to think in that moment. That's the purpose of a word. The purpose of a word is to facilitate concentration. It facilitates concentration by excluding the other thoughts that are not connected to that word. I want abundance in my life, I'm willing to have abundance in my life. I'm saying that as a point of focus and concentration. I don't have to necessarily believe it yet. I'm directing my mind in the proper direction. At least I can say stuff that I don't believe that I want to be true. We all every day being here saying stuff that we don't believe that we want to be true. Every one of us is capable of that. He says, by giving help, you're asking for help. If you perceive but one need in yourself, you will be healed. Now, that's a deep statement, too. If you just see one need in yourself, you will be healed. Because we've been taught to see many different needs in ourselves. The world teaches us to look for all these different needs we have. The Course is saying, aha, you're missing the obvious. Healing comes from perceiving one need that you have. Here's another awesome statement. You will recognize God's answer as you want it to be. You always recognize the answer as what you want it to be. So if you really want it, it will be truly yours. Do you really want your Creator's answer? Do you really want the answer of God? Do you really want the truth? Come on, you all. Do you really want the truth, or do you just want the truth as you want it to be? Come on now. Yeah. Y'all know what's going on. Want the truth as you you want it to be honest, people, raise your hands. You honestly feel like you want the truth as it is and you have no doubt about that, raise your hand. Great. Great. You'll find out whether or not you're in denial. I ain't got to try to prove it to you. And that's true of all of us. That's what's so cool. I don't care what you say to yourself, your experience is going to show you what you really believe. And that's what I like about my experience. I can say all kinds of stuff about me, but really my experience is showing me what I believe. Because your beliefs come from your experiences don't really come from your beliefs, even though it's good to have the belief to get the whole thing started. It sounds kind of contradictory. Don't try to even figure that out. Just know that every time you have the experience of sitting in the chair, you believe more than ever you can sit in the chair. Because it's your experiences that give you conviction. You see? So the Course is telling us that every appeal you answer in the name of Christ, Christ, the dreaded C word, Christ. Oh, he was on the road till he said Christ. Okay. And that just from a Course in Miracles perspective means love. From a Course in Miracles perspective means your real self, which is love. So in the name of your real self, you need to bring the remembrance of your Creator closer to your awareness. So every time you answer or perceive somebody else's call for help and call for love, it brings the awareness for real of God into your awareness. You become closer and closer to being completely awake and conscious every time you answer an appeal for help. So, what is the Holy Spirit's interpretation of other people? Who can tell me? Everything is either love or call for love. Everything is either
love or call for love.
Now,
Everything is either love or call for love.
Thank you.
Every appeal that you answer in the name of Christ brings the remembrance of your Father closer to your awareness. So every time you remember the truth, you get closer. Every time you remember the truth, you get to the point that you're closer to remembering the truth. For the sake of your need, then, for the sake of your need, hear every call for help. As what the call for help is, so God can answer your booty call. The brand new level of booty call. It's about time we upped it a little bit. All right. It's about time. Now, then it says, by applying the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the reactions of others more and more consistently, which simply means by seeing what you all do as a call for love more and more, he says, you will gain an increasing awareness that Holy Spirit's criteria
the love criteria are equally applicable to you. I will say that again. The more that I apply to you, the more I realize it applies to me. The more I apply to you, the more I realize it applies to me. The more I apply love and truth to you, the more I realize that this is the same interpretation that God has of what I do every day. As I recognize that all you are doing is calling for love, then I become closer every day to the awareness that I don't need to be so hard on myself, because everything that Earl has ever done and it seemed like it might have caused pain to anybody was just my call for help and my call for love. So I can forgive myself. So everybody's giving you an opportunity to forgive yourself sooner and therefore free your abundance. Because you deny it to yourself as long as you think you're guilty. Because you don't think you deserve it. I love this book. It gives me real answers. Real answers. Then it says, for to recognize fear is not enough to escape from it. To recognize that you're afraid is not enough to escape from your fear. Just recognizing that you are afraid, which is a step, is not enough to get you to recognize your fear. It's not enough to escape from it. Although, the recognition is necessary to demonstrate the need for escape. I recognize that I'm afraid and upset and unhappy, and that's reflecting my need to escape from this situation. So my fear lets me recognize my need to escape. So, the Holy Spirit, which is the real you, which is the you that is love, the you that is power, the you that is unlimited, the you that is spirit, that part of you must still translate the fear that you have into the truth. Because if you were left with the fear, that once you had recognized the fear, you would have taken a step away from reality and love, not towards it. You know, at least I was in denial and didn't know I was afraid. Now you're making me aware that, this is phony happiness. The truth is, you're really miserable. And then I leave you there. I was feeling pretty good until I met you. And now you're going to leave me here. So, he said, so if that happens, you're taking a step away from love, not towards love. If you just bring up my fear and just leave me in my fear, you're not moving me away from the fear. You're moving me towards fear. And so we have repeatedly emphasized the need to recognize fear, and you must face your fear without disguise as a crucial step in undoing your ego, which is your fear. So a crucial step in undoing any fear and upset is to face it without disguise. A crucial part of letting go of all fear and upset is not to not face it, but face it without disguise. Now, when you don't hear something from the Course correctly, it will make you feel like you're a little bit of a strain. Okay, so if you didn't hear it correctly, you probably thought, oh my God, I gotta face my fears. No. He says, face it without disguise. Do you know what that really means? Just keep on going. Consider how well the Holy Spirit's, the infinite Spirit's interpretation of the motives of others will serve you. So we're being given this stuff. So I want you to think about how finally looking at what your mother did as a call for love is going to help you. I want you to consider this. You consider it like this. Having taught you to accept only loving thoughts in others and to regard everything else as an appeal for help, what I taught you is that your fear itself is an appeal for help. And I'm just going to say that because with the Course in Miracles, it's very rare that somebody hears it the first time. Your fear is a call for help. Your fear and upset or anger or depression is an appeal for help. Fear itself, as soon as it's not like fear is a call for help. Fear is a call for help. As soon as you feel fear, that's like saying to the universe, help me. So imagine if every time you had what you think of as a negative feeling or thought, a feeling or emotion, imagine if that feeling, like your depression, was really a help me, God. So suppose your illness was a help me, universe. Fear is a call for love. It's a call for help. So if you're a frightened person, an upset person, fear is any form of lack of peace. So if you're angry, you're afraid. If you're depressed, you're afraid. If you're sick, you're afraid. Any form of lack of peace is fear. So therefore, some of us are just all day long saying, help me, God, help me, 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 God, help me, God, help me, God, help, 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 help. Good morning. Have a fearful, upset thought about the day. Help! Just thought about my mate. Help! Thought about my child. Help! Thought about my boss. Help! Think about my body. Help! I found any situation. Help! See, the course is saying, as far as spirit is concerned, the only thing we on earth are doing all the time is going, help, 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 help. It's almost like we're some animals or something. Help, 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 no matter what any of us are thinking right now, what are we really saying?
Help!
And whoever didn't get it is a call for help! And if they are particularly a challenge and crazy and don't have any sense, that's a gigantic colossal call for help. Intergalactic call for help. Some people are intergalactic calls for help. Now, there's one very important point I want to make here that people tend to misperceive in the course in the 27 years that I've taught it. They think that they have to believe it to say it. Like, in other words, I feel like if I see it as a call for help, somehow or another, I'm supposed to be feeling like it's a call for help and feeling the compassion. And even if somebody says something I don't like, somehow or another, if I'm hearing it all right, I should be just, oh, that's just a little call for love. All of your feelings are calls for help. All of your feelings are calls for help. So therefore, it doesn't make any difference what the feeling is. If the feeling is a request for the same thing, it doesn't matter what your feeling is if it's a request for the same thing. It doesn't matter what your feelings are if it's a request for the same thing. I don't have to change my depression into joy to get the help of God because my very depression is a call for God. I don't have to go from depression to peace to God. That's what we think we do. Depression to peace to God. I'm going to fix myself first and ask to be fixed. That's how I'm playing. I'm going to fix myself and then I'm going to ask for help. I got to somehow prepare myself for the love of the universe. I got to earn it. Having taught you to accept only loving thoughts in others and to regard everything else as an appeal for help, having taught you to accept only loving thoughts in others and to regard everything else as an appeal for help, I'm teaching you that your fear is an appeal for help. So this is what recognizing your fear really means. Recognizing your fear doesn't really mean I'm going to go back to my childhood and see what happened in lonely dark nights and that horrible event happened. Recognizing your fear doesn't mean now I know I have a fear of blind. Recognizing your fear means you finally get it. That your fear is a call for love. That your fear is a call for help. That all fear is a call for help. And when you see all fear is a call for help, now you finally recognize what fear is. That's the recognition of your fear. It's not analyzing your illusions to see which one screwed you up. You know that don't work. Because you've done it all your life. The truth would have to be something different. Would never be what we tried that's never worked. Kind of funny when you think about it. What's the truth? Well, I don't even have to tell me what I've been doing that's never worked since I've been born. And when he tells me what I already believe that hasn't worked, I can believe it. I should be telling you something that you'll go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. This is what recognizing fear really means. If you don't protect it, God will reinterpret it. That's the ultimate value in learning to perceive attack as a call for love. We've already learned that fear and attack are inevitably associated. Fear goes with attack. Who do you attack? Those you fear. Who do you fear? Those you attack. Who do you attack? Those you fear. Who do you fear? Those you attack. Attack and fear go together. The more afraid a person is of you, the more likely they are to hurt you or attempt to hurt you. The more a person is afraid of you, the more likely they are to get angry and attack you. So you don't have no excuses for saying you don't know what the person you're with or around might do to you. Is it fear coming down? Or is it attacking this relationship coming down? Is fear coming down or no fear coming down? Where there is no fear, there is no attack. Wherever there is attack, there is fear. So we need to see fear and attack as a call for God, a call for love, a call for help, a call for healing. And all of a sudden, earth has just become one big prayer. Just a big ball of a revolving calls for God.
Yeah.
Competing as to who has the best one. Well, you think you have problems? Well, let me tell you the form of my call. Your call is just needing a job. My call is I need a job, don't have no money, and I found out I got a disease, and my mate just left me, and my dog bit me.
Oh,
my call for love is much greater than yours. Well, mine is greater than yours. No, mine is greater than yours. And so I think if I'm temple enough, I'll win the contest and somebody answer. Somebody reach out and finally see mine and say, let me help that turning going. My God! It's like, let's pretend God is like a separate entity for a minute, which is the truth, right? But then God is like controlling everything, working everything. But all of a sudden, Earl's so pitiful. She goes right to me. I lose everything. Notice me. Now, all of a sudden, you know, my call for love is so incredible that it just stops the universe. God, woo, damn! Hold everything in all the universe, the universe, the bitches of the bitches. Stop all! Earl is a mastercard! The Course in Miracles says, why would I need to know what you're hurting about if I already believe you don't deserve to be in pain? Wouldn't I just try to ease your pain? I don't need to know what causes me. That would kind of insinuate there would be some situations that you do deserve pain. So something that loves you wouldn't even need to know the form of the upset. It would just know I love you and I don't want you to be upset. You wouldn't even go, what are you upset about? Unless you just need to talk about it. But that would affect my willingness to have you helped. Because I love you and I know you don't deserve to be hurt. Because I love you. You don't have to agree with me for me to want you to be helped. It'll just speed things along for you. If you would agree that you deserve to be loved. Because it's hard to love somebody who don't believe they deserve it and don't want it. Every time you try to love them, they just reject you some kind of way or they attack you some kind of way, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to love somebody that was refusing that love? Stop. Just see it as their call for love. So, that's what recognizing love and recognizing fear really means. The last two sentences. We've already learned that fear and attack are inevitably associated. If only attack produces fear, that's interesting. Only attack produces fear. And if you see attack as the call for help that attack is, if you see attack or anger as the call for help that it is, the unreality of fear will dawn on you. All of your fear will disappear as soon as you see attack and anger and sadness and depression as a call. Okay, that would be something like, the depression will disappear when you see the depression as a call for love. The anger will disappear when you really see the anger as a call for love. The sickness will disappear when you really see the sickness as a call for love. Your lack will disappear when you really see your lack as a call for God. That's what we were just told. Do you want your fear to disappear? Then start seeing your fear as your own personal prayer. If you want your fear to disappear, start seeing your fear as your own personal prayer. See your upset as your own personal prayer. See your anxiety as your own personal prayer. You will call to God. You will call for love. And it will disappear. Because fear is a call for love. Yeah. Now, see, when you see a comma, see that little comma behind it if you got the book? Fear is a comma. Whenever you see a comma like that, it's getting ready to give you the definition. It's getting ready to tell you the meaning. What is fear? An unconscious recognition of what has been denied. So when I feel fear, that's really me recognizing that peace is being denied me right now. Love is being denied me right now. When you are afraid, it's you unconsciously recognizing that you deserve more than what you're receiving right now. Fear is your own unconscious recognition that you deserve more than what you're giving yourself right now. That you deserve love right now. Fear is an unconscious, depression is an unconscious recognition. Lack is an unconscious recognition. Anger is an unconscious recognition of the love and the peace and the God and the truth that you're denying inside yourself. So really, seeing correctly, your fear is a witness to your recognition that you deserve love. And if you saw it that way, even if you didn't believe it, the unreality of your fear would dawn on you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to this much.
Give me encouragement. Encouragement. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, look, it's okay to ask for what you want.
That's right.
Sometimes people are willing to give it to you, but they just need you to go ahead and ask for it.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't forget, all my classes are online at my website. In case you need to hear that again, earlpurdy.com. And Earl Purdy died wink.
Thank you for sharing financially with me in my full-time ministry with the course. Thank you for sharing with Unity Temple also. I'd like for y'all to hear me saying I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you give, and I appreciate who you are, because we have a tendency to tune out when people are appreciating us. And then we say people don't appreciate us. So I'm appreciating you. I want to ask you to hear that you're being appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way in the future.
Here you go, buddy.
Okay. This is way in the future. It's February 2009.
Okay.
And it's a Coast Americans conference. They have it every once in a while. It's in San Francisco, and it's just a food. Oh, it is so much fun. And if you register now with just $100, they promise you the price will increase. And there's really lots and lots of cool people. It's just, oh, Course in Miracles people from all over the country and international. I mean, that is such a hoot. Yeah. It is so much fun. There's all kinds of Gary Renard and the Carpenters, and, well, there's also Earl Purdy. And the last time he was there, you guys, he got standing room only all the time. I mean, all these wonderful teachers, Course in Miracles teachers, And when folks knew Earl was on, I was standing in there 5 years ago. So I'm just going to leave this because this is just what they said in. And
yeah, more of those.
I'm going to have some more. I'm going to have some more printed up. That's why I hadn't mentioned it. I'm glad Bonnie did it today so that you have more information. And when if you do decide to go, it's like right now it's like $3.49 or something.
Yes,
it's as much less than. Plus, this includes meals and all kinds of stuff, and this is really great, great hotel.
Great hotel.
It's really great.
I looked at all the angels.
See what's already happening anyway.
you will see the blessing sign to the sin in your life. See it as an offer to Him. All right?
All right.
Okay, Wednesday, 12 noon, 7 o'clock on Thursday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to keep it going. And then Sunday, I'll be speaking at the 11 o'clock service. Okay? Most our valuable love hugs. Appreciate you. May the course be with you.